Gracious Lord, another day you've given us to worship you and to raise our children in nurture and admonition of your word. I pray that the principles tonight would be indelibly placed in our minds from Scripture because we want to be obedient. We have a job to raise our children to obey and to honor, and we want them to grow up to love you, to know you, and we want to plow that soil. We want to dig it deep. We want the seeds to be able to grow quickly and blossom and flourish so that the yield is even greater than what we're able to bring with our own work towards your kingdom. So use the kids of this room, but from these parents, to bring honor to your name, and may this class be part of that process. In your name, amen. Goody. Last week, we went through a lot of information, didn't we? So who wants to come up here and draw my charts for me? Not. Okay, so the first chart that I want to keep putting in your brain was the heart. Oh, out of the overflow of the heart is what we
say
and do. Okay, so if we have good things in our heart, what will come out?
Good things.
Right. If we have evil in our heart, what comes out? So if you have a child that has some bad behavior and you want to change their bad behavior into good behavior, you just work on behavior? No, that is in the behavior box. We don't want to do that. We want to look at that heart, see what's in it. And if we don't look at the heart, we get, remember the cross line?
Hypocrisy.
Yeah, hypocrisy. If you get a child who doesn't obey with their heart, but they're obeying on the outside, you get hypocrisy. But we want to change. I'm sorry, I'm over here because I got to be mirror of you guys. So we're here. We're trying to change the heart of a child. We can't change our own hearts. We can't change our children's hearts. There's only one way to change them, and that is through the cross. Christ can change our hearts. So we are just like our kids. We need Christ. We need to repent. We need that faith that God will change us, and then we'll have righteous hearts that can have righteous deeds. So keep that one and use that one regularly. Then we also had the circle of blessing. So here's a circle of blessing from Ephesians 6:1. Children,
obey
your parents in the Lord.
Honor
your father and mother, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long. You guys are getting good. Now, if a child, actually they're this way because live long was here. If a child goes outside the circle of blessing, right over here, they're outside here, what is our job? Is it to
run away and scream?
Run away and scream. Stop, drop, and roll. Yeah. We want to
rescue
them. It's now a rescue mission to bring them back in. They are disobedient. They're not obeying. They're not honoring. So it's our job to bring them back into repentance. And sometimes that's going to take some discipline to do that. And that's what we're going to cover tonight. We should be training them on a regular basis, many different ways to come back into obedience. And sometimes we use other things we talked about last week. Pain was one of them. And sometimes it's a natural consequence. They're told not to run too fast down the driveway, and they run too fast and they get bloody knees and skinned up and they're crying. They got a natural consequence. They didn't obey mommy and daddy, their wisdom. And because of that, they're paying the consequence of some pain. So that's a natural consequence. We have other consequences that we want to potentially bring pain into them, to force them to recognize it. Pay attention. There's something going on here. I want to rescue you. And so we use these things to do that. So we want to talk tonight about the rod. And it's going to be one of the hardest lessons to embrace for many people. But it's really the most valuable if properly applied. And this is typically going to be in younger kids. We're going to be using a rod. I would say we were done most of our use of a rod by age 6 with most of our kids. We reserved that 1%. We said we're 99% done. Just in case there was a need for something a little bit later, they knew there was still that possibility. And maybe on a couple of them, we had to go a little past that. But we got to keep in mind Colossians 2:8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. We got to remember the world does not think like we do. They don't have a reason to use something like this that we're told to. Styles and ideas, they often change with culture. Do you now lay a baby on its back or on its stomach when they're in their Okay, so that changes every couple of years, doesn't it? Maybe you had a bunch of kids, and one of them was the first one they told you one, and that's what happened with us. That was kept changing, back, front, back, front. I grew up with an avocado green refrigerator. They're probably back in style by now. was pretty cool, right? It's retro. But things go out of style and they come back in style. Can you picture me in 1977 with long hair? I had long hair, it was over my ears. And styles change, thankfully. Colossians 2:8 says, don't follow the cultural trends of the world based upon human understanding. We need to look at what Scripture says on things like this. So the rod and the chastisement are just a tiny portion of the parenting process, but it is an important process. Remember, though, that there is a positive side of reinforcement. We talked about the shelves and the aisles that we're placing things on, biblical principles and morals, so they can have all those levels of respect. They learn from what we tell them, and we're regularly having lots of conversations and questions with them. That's still part of the discipline process. This is a small part that we're going to talk about tonight. That's kind of why we took our time getting to this. The first week, we don't just start talking about spanking, because it would be just a very poor foundation to start from. So we want to start with a biblical perspective of the rod. And really, the question is, what is the nature of our children's struggles and problems? Why do we even consider spanking? We got to think through this. What causes it? Well, first we have to start out with a premise that children are not morally and ethically neutral. They're not neutral. We went through that before. A lot of the world's philosophies just start with a premise that they're neutral, and therefore they're naturally just going to go wherever you send them, as opposed to our view that children are born a sinner. They don't begin life from a neutral standpoint, and that's going to change the way you're going to discipline. Rousseau, who started a lot of these philosophies, he had five children that he deposited at St. Vincent de Paul's founding home right after they were born. No name, no date, not even a note of the gender of his kids. That's his concept of, let's just leave them here, and that'll take care of them. And there was no love for his kids. It just, they didn't even know what they were. That's pretty sad. And I don't think we're going to go there. That's not where we're at. But he thought they're neutral. They're just part of society. Society will take care of them. And we're going to let them, whatever happens to them, happens to them. Children, and really us for that matter, we always desire to be self-ruled. That's just natural part of us. We want to rule ourselves. We want to do whatever we want to do. And our kids are the exact same way, straight out of the womb. And you leave a child alone for 10 minutes and they're going to find something that they want to do. That's just the way we all are. Proverbs 22:15 is the remedy. It's further of our rescue mission. It says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from them. So we know that that's a natural place where they're going to go is towards folly. And we want to use the rod of discipline, is what Proverbs says, to drive it far from them. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. I think of that story of Charlie MD I mentioned was that brought me here into town, because the two brothers, one brother killed the other brothers. The mom was still in denial of it. The mom, the whole time, the mom of the three boys, where the one killed the other, her whole comments were, my poor Chuck. And Chuck was the one who killed Wayne, the guy who was my friend. She was still so convinced that her son just needed to be watched after and cared for, my poor Chuck, instead of the one who actually was killed. She did not see that. That's sad. And what a folly that was. It was a disgrace to her. And she didn't want to be seen by anybody. That was a disgrace. Biblical discipline always expresses God's love. And that's what we want to remember through this. We're expressing God's love because we're told to do this. The issue normally is not the parent's insistence on being obeyed, but it's the child's need to be rescued from death. The death that results from a rebellion left in an unchallenged heart. So think long term, if you just keep doing this where you're not disciplining, you just, I'll let this one go, and you just continue in that route, that's unchallenged. And there is a death that can occur and a separation that will occur from you, because they're not going to like you anymore, because they're going to be autonomous, self-willed, and everything that they want to do. So the rod rescues the child from the path of destruction they're already on. The child who does not submit to parental authority is acting foolishly. He's living a life for the immediate gratification of his wants and his desires. I want to get what I want to have. To refuse God's rule means to choose his own rule that leads to death, and that is what the Bible calls the height of foolishness. We're choosing a pathway that's disobedience, and the Bible says that's complete foolishness. That's what we want to stop and get rid of them. Outside of that circle of blessing, there's some foolishness that we need to train out of them. I want to define the rod. Ted does a good job of this. He has a whole chapter you can read on this, and I think it's good to go through it. And here's his definition. It's written there. The rod of correction is a parent in faith towards God and faithfulness to his child, undertaking a timely, careful, measured, and controlled use of physical punishment to underscore the importance of obeying God, thus rescuing the child from continuing in his foolishness. I'll read that again. Now think through it. It's a parent in faith towards God and faithfulness to his child, undertaking the timely, careful, measured, and controlled use of physical punishment to underscore the importance of obeying God, thus rescuing the child from his continuing in his foolishness. So there's some guidelines we want to look at as you do this. The first one is that only parents should use the rod. The Bible's clear on this. Proverbs 29:17, discipline your son and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. You never hear a Bible verse that says, discipline a child that you are teaching as a teacher, or that your neighbors, discipline your neighbor's child. You never hear that. It's always discipline your son. You don't delegate it to a babysitter, a child care worker, the nursery workers, or even grandparents. You know, if you're gone for an extended period of time, you got to think through what that's going to mean. I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. We went off to Australia for a week and a half, 10 days, and left six kids at home. She didn't leave me. I'm the seventh kid, she calls me. But we left them with a sister of mine. The youngest was less than one?
She was three.
Okay, she was 3 years old. So a three-year-old up to an 11-year-old, we left them with my sister, and we went off to Australia on a business trip, and we had to have a plan. How are you going to handle discipline? Thankfully, that sister of mine, you know, our kids could do no wrong for her. So they had a fun time making cream puffs and having a wonderful time. She still remembers it to this day. But I would not delegate that authority to use a rod on my child. We're not called to do that. Only Scripture states that it's the parent's responsibility to do this. It's not someone else's. I know there's special cases where there's foster children, there's adopted children, and that's a different case. You know, now they're in your house and you have that control. You are that authority for them. And so you would have that as their parent. Secondly, the use of the rod is an act of faith in God. It's an act of faith, isn't it? We're believing what the Word of God says, that if I use this on my child to correct them, it's going to help them and it's not going to hurt them. That takes faith to do that, because the world's saying, don't you dare hit that child. God's mandated its use. The parents obey, not because we perfectly understand how it works. We don't understand how a little bit of pain, how that's going to hurt and it's going to get rid of the guilt. We do it because God commanded it. It's a confidence in God's wisdom and a confidence in God's word. Thirdly, the rod is an act of faithfulness to the child. Recognizing that there's hope and refusing to be a party to the child's death in the direction they're going, it's an expression of love now. So it's an act of faithfulness to that child. Because, look, I love you so much. I don't want to see you out here outside of God's will, outside of the circle of blessing that God has promised if you obey him in Ephesians 6:1. So it makes sense. Then we know the rod should be used in a manner that is careful, timely, measured, and controlled. The words that are used there in the definition. So it has to be careful. We don't want to just be flailing and just out of control doing this. Timely means it should be within a reasonable period of time connected to whatever occurred, or there should be, if there's a, you can't do it immediately, there's going to be a gap of time, there's an explanation and a plan to say, hey, we're going to deal with this when we get home. We're at the grocery store right now. This is not the time for me to deal with this, but because of your actions, you're going to get some chastisement when we get home. And the children know what that is, and now they're fearing the whole way until they get home, and they're hoping you're going to forget about it, right? Yeah. So, but it should be timely. They're remembering that. It should be measured. And we'll talk about that exactly in a little bit later, how to kind of think that. And then it's controlled. We should be controlled. It's never a venting of parental anger. It's not what a parent does when they get frustrated. And this is typically what you see in the world's spanking, the word that we use, spanking. Because They've tried everything else. They're finally exhausted. And next thing you know, this dad is just, he's upset. And now he's out of control. And he's just swinging his hands, anything he can to hit that child. And someone's going to get hurt. This is abuse. And that is unacceptable as a Christian. We do not want to have that be a part of what we're doing. So you have a nice definition there. That should help. The use of the rod is part of your rescue mission. It's not the child has disobeyed me, but the child has disobeyed God by disobeying me or whatever, however they've disobeyed. Obviously, there's distortions of the rod. I started hinting towards them, and child abuse is not biblical. It's not biblical. It's not what it means to use the rod. The world has just grabbed that, and they want to just nail Christians all that they can if they ever see any spanking, as they would call it. But it's not biblical as child abuse. It can't be unbridled anger or temper. James 1:20 says, man's anger does not bring about the righteousness of God's desires. We can't do that with our anger. We should never be doing this. If we're angry or have a temper, we should stop and say, you know what? I need to deal with myself, son, before I deal with you. What you've done is not right. It's got you where you're outside of this, God's blessing, and I need to take some time to just think about this, exactly what I'm going to do. So just sit in your room for a minute, because something's coming your way. And they know something's coming their way if you've been consistent. But don't let your anger get out there. Venting frustrations. There's times when each of us have had moments of frustration with our children. When they exasperate you, they leave you hurt. They leave you angry. With us, our kids, they'd be left on the front door. My wife would just put them outside and shut the door. No, I'm kidding. She wouldn't. The rod is not a tool to release that frustration when we're frustrated. Please remember that. Rather than spanking in these times, you need to delay your response until you really understand what your reasonable response should be to your children and the fact that your child has sinned against God and not against you. You need to stop to think that out, not your frustrations. Often during this, we are spanking because it's an embarrassment to us. If we're embarrassed they've done something and we just want to, you know, our friends are there, or neighbors, or other somebody's over, and you just feel like, I'm embarrassed. I need to go deal with this. And it's out of that frustration we're dealing with. So we don't want to do it that way as well. It's not just because we're being embarrassed. It's not retribution either. It's not a payment due or paying them for your sins. You've done this sin, and therefore you're going to get this as your retribution for it. Rather, here it's a corrective action having a positive goal of restoration is what we're after. This is going to help restore you, not just pay for your sins. It has a negative goal of payment. It doesn't. It's like a convict paying a debt to society is what some people think. It's not. It's not them paying their debt to society. That's not a biblical concept of discipline. It's not that they've done something wrong and they've got to pay a debt. It's a, we want to rescue you. You're heading in the wrong direction. That changes your mind when you're thinking about this discipline, because these cute little kids have done something. It's like, oh, they've done this. And you think that you need to do it just because they've done something wrong. No, it's because you want to do it to bring them back into obedience. It also shouldn't be connected to anger where you need to at least express anger to them, where daddy's really upset about this. There has to be an angry separation. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to deal with you because of what you've done. That shouldn't be a part of it. They should. They feel it should create distance rather than closeness with some people. But no, actually done right, they're going to want to hug you. They're going to love you when you've done it right, because they've seen, thank you, Dad, you've helped me. Thank you, Mommy, for helping me because I was heading in the wrong direction. You want that release of that spanking has now helped that. I feel like I'm in right relationship with you. Okay. There's some common objections, and we've heard every one of these from our classes as we've taught these in the last 35 years or whatever it's been. I love my child too much. I love my child too much. I couldn't dare spank them. I love them. How would I do this? Because I love them. Well, who benefits if you don't spank them? Surely not the child. You do. It doesn't have to hurt your pride to have to do that. You're delivered from the discomfort, from the agony of inflicting pain on one you love, from the loss of time that biblical discipline takes. It takes time to stop out of your schedule and do this. But society hates to be confrontive. We have to recognize it's the action of where they're heading. They are needing to be rescued, and we need to recognize that. Proverbs 13:24, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. There's faith right there in saying, I love my child too much is not an excuse. It's because God tells us that he who spares the rod hates him. That we have to believe that that verse is true. It's not like that one's just in red and you can take it out of your Bible. No, there is a reason. So it's not that we love our children too much. The second one is, I'm afraid that I will hurt my child. I'm afraid that I'm going to hurt my child. Maybe the thought of biblical discipline evokes in your mind a parent out of control, angrily flailing at you when you were a child. And you think back, oh, I remember that. And I was just such a terror. I hate that. Uncontrolled rage. That was not a proper biblical use of the rod. So don't use that as your mindset of what it was. Proverbs 23:13. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. They may think they're going to die, and you might want them to. No, it's hard, but it's amazing if you done right, they will appreciate this in the right context. Third one, the objection we hear is, it'll cause my child to rebel. Oh my goodness, if I teach them how to spank, they're going to go hitting other people. They're going to hit their friends, and they're going to rebel in this way. You want your children to love and appreciate you and think that mommy and daddy are great. Spanking might make them think that you're cruel and you're harsh. It's going to bring out the worst in them. No, it's not true. Proverbs 24:17, discipline your son and he will give you peace. He will give delight to your soul. So the Bible says, again, it comes back to, do we trust Scripture or do we trust what the world says? Are you going to trust worldly wisdom here? Rather than yielding angry children, biblical discipline brings children who are at peace with you, which is really a joyous thing. They're happy. They're engaged. After spanking, that's when you get those truly heartfelt apologies and hugs. And we're going to talk about apologies later on, too, and what expectations are there. Next one I've heard is, it doesn't work. I've tried it. Oh, my goodness. I've heard this one a whole bunch of times, especially people who've been through our class and they think they have the right tool for using it, and they think that they've got this down, but it doesn't work. I tried it, so I'm not doing it anymore. Well, inconsistent application of the rod is often the case. The child never knows the rules. They never know the boundaries. They don't know what their expectations are. So if you're inconsistent, I got a spanking today for this, and now I didn't the next day. What is it? When is it? So it's inconsistent application can be one reason that it doesn't work. It does take persistence. It also has to be effective. It has to be effective. It can't be through four layers of diapers and a bunch of other clothes and with your hand. It's just not going to cause any thing other than just a noise. And the child will cry because they go, oh, it was a loud noise. I think I'm supposed to cry right now. They never stop squirming either. They're still wiggling all around. I had some squirmers. Oh, my goodness, we had squirmers. And it was hard to find that target zone in there, you know, when they're squirming like that. They never really knew when the spanking was administered because they're just squirming around and the rod was really never felt. So that's a problem. The next reason that it doesn't work, I've tried it, is the wrong instrument. And we've seen people use many different things or suggest different things. Wooden spoons is a common one. We don't like that because that's a solid instrument and it can actually cause a bruise. You get something that's solid like that and you hit the flesh and you miss maybe a little bit further down the leg, you can get a bruise on your kid. Next thing you know, you got some worker somewhere that sees your kid, your child abuse. You don't want that to happen, do you? I mean, we live in an age where that is a serious issue. Another would be too flexible. It's like a spatula. Spatulas can be really wimpy and flexible, and they can hurt. They don't hurt that much, but they're very flexible. And because of that, they really don't hurt like they should. So there is somebody who did create an item that kind of helps, that we had exposure to as we were younger, and it got our kids' attention very well. It created pain, but it didn't leave a mark. It was a red mark for a little bit, but it stings. So what you're after is something that's a sting that's going to hurt quickly, but it's not going to injure muscle tissue. We want to think through that. So if maybe next week there might be somebody out in the parking lot who will have some of these things in case you're interested in them, but I might just be able to show you something that I've seen that seems to work for us. And I'm going to pass this around. So this is a wisdom worker is the term that we use for it. You can see it's flexible, but it's not going to be so stiff that you don't injure stuff. I want you to take this and just hit your leg about like that. I mean, I don't just a little one. I mean, hit it and you'll see That's a sting, but it won't leave a mark. Now, we were going to get these engraved with different sin names on them. So lying, cheating, stealing, fighting. So whichever, this is a fighting one. And then I'll leave a little word, fighting. So I'm going to pass this around. Kathy has tried this before. I want you to hit your leg just so you get an idea of what an expectation is. And I'm not talking a wimp hit either, Jimmy. I want you. No. That was nothing. Okay, did you feel
something?
Both of you, I'm sorry, that was not. That's still not it. Oh, don't do that. Ouch. Okay.
So made you happy, Grant.
You're going to get a mark for
that. That one's going to be
okay. Okay, but this won't stay. So we want you to just know that think it whatever you're using, because if it's too flexible, it's just going to be making a noise. If it's through diapers, it's going to be ineffective. If it's too stiff, you don't want to hurt your child, and we want to help you. So I didn't hear a noise.
we're comparing notes because a friend of ours, his dad did vehicle things. He had a big belt off of a truck.
Okay. Yeah, I remember a belt as a kid.
Yeah.
I remember a belt, I remember a yardstick, and I remember putting book in my pants and breaking yardsticks, or at least my mom broke them. But this thing is just so you're familiar with something and what kind of a sting that feels. I mean, you're still feeling that in your leg. I'm sure you are because you really went at it. but it's a sting. That's going to get the attention. Obviously, you need to regulate that when you give it to your child so that they can feel, oh, yeah, I just felt that. That got my attention. It wasn't just I just got a little noise. So I don't want to take it lightly. Oh. See? Okay. She got it. So with a three-year-old, I mean, you could feel that would get a three-year-old's attention, and they would stop. So you could make something like this, but it kind of gives you an idea.
Really?
What?
And don't use it on.
No.
I tried it on my dog. It doesn't work. Golden retrievers are useless.
My dog would look at me like, what? What are you doing?
Not.
Is that a chew toy? What are you doing?
So at least you know that it cannot be in anger. If you've done it in anger, it's not going to work. Your child can read right through you. Think of it as a rescue mission, and there's a little bit of pain involved that says, oh, I need to pay attention to this mom or dad, that you've got my attention here. I don't want to have that again, but there's also not something that's going to be a long-term effect on them. You turn your head, you know, if they move, if they squirm, that adds a spanking. And we've always said, oh, you squirm, you get another one. Oh, you squirmed again, you're going to get another one. And it's like, just be still, son. Be still, my daughter. And because of that, it's amazing how fast they will stop squirming because that thing hurts. And they don't want to feel that. And so you get their attention quickly, and it at least wakes them up. Now this, again, it's going to be done by about age 6. So some of you may not be dealing with that because your kids are already past that age. You're
not just going to make a comment.
Yeah.
So we have one of those. We've had a few of them, and they work really well because not only do they hurt, but like if you're in the car or something, and you can't be flailing your arms. You just have to do a little wrist action. There's a lot of whip and snap to it. So it's really practical.
Chad can teach you the reverse backhanded method and then the forehand method.
You're in the back of the car and you're trying to be discreet.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you're trying to, because you're doing it at a grocery store, you've taken your kid out, and yeah, that can get their attention. So it's effective. There's somebody who's used one before. Yeah.
When you say that you don't let them squirm, like they have to be relaxed?
Not so much relaxed. They're going to be stiff. But if their butt's wiggling all over the place, you know what? You're squirming. You're going to get one more. You got to stop squirming. And we've had times when they just kept squirming and squirming. It's like, okay, stop. You're at 47 already. I'm not going to.
Just going to keep swinging his hip.
No. Okay, so the hub of the wheel, we said last week, is self-control. So that's where if you got a squirmer, you sit with them. You look them eye to eye and say, look, we need to get some self-control here. I don't want to spank you the rest of the day, and you don't want to be spanked. Look at me in the eye. I need you to stop squirming. Daddy needs to discipline you so that I'm correcting you. If you keep doing this, it's going to hurt you a lot longer. Please stop. So now it's even seen better as a rescue because you have a calm and gentle voice, and you're telling him what's going on, and it's measured. Okay, measured is one of the things. Okay? But always make sure your motives are right. Obviously, I've heard the excuse, I don't want to be arrested. And that is a reality. We have to be careful. It is a valid concern. It is a private matter, and it should always only be done in private. Don't pull out something like that in the middle of a grocery store and start whacking on your kid. You're going to be in jail. That's just the reality of our life nowadays. In church, maybe you won't be, but in jail. Beware of others around you who do not approve, who might cause unnecessary exposure. If you've got, you know, brother or sister or a neighbor, you know, don't go flaunting that thing around. I know that with that device, Kathy could just have it in her purse when she goes to the store and the tip of it sticking out and the kids know it's there. Oh, yeah, I remember that thing. I don't want to talk to it today. I think I've heard the name Mr. Sad used as the instrument in the past as well. Yeah, I didn't want to say Steve's, Pastor Steve calls him that, but you said that.
If,
yeah, exactly. You're welcome, Steve. If grandparents disapprove, take care not to do it in their presence. Honor them and tell your child, so you know what you've done, I need to correct. And we're going to deal with this when you get home. You're going to have to talk to Mr. Sad for a little bit. And just your parents, if you're there for an extended period of time, for days, well, you may have to find a way to do it. But if you're... parents don't approve, be really cautious. And we had to really walk that fine line with Kathy's folks for quite a while. And they would follow us upstairs because they knew what was going on. They knew the kid would get spanking. And no, you don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. It's like, that's okay, Grandpa. We'll take care of him. He'll be fine. And later on, to hear Kathy's dad say, I am so glad of the way you discipline your kids because they turned out so wonderful. And what a joy to be around your kids compared to any of the other ones who weren't trained in this manner. It paid off. It was hard at the time. Saying, it's okay, Dad. We'll take care of this. So in the meantime, just be cautious of that. Ultimately, it's a question of faith, isn't it? Do I trust the Lord that I am honoring him? He will honor me and I won't go to jail. I won't get over. I won't do it. I won't do it in anger. I will do it persistently, and that'll be a faithful way to do it. And it's a joy to look back and hardly even remember the spankings later on as the kids got older. And because they're basically done at six, it was nice to see that that wasn't an issue. So there's some guidelines. Do it in private. That's the dignity, not in front of other siblings. That's just not dignified, especially if you're pulling pants down and you got to get that raw cheek there. Because if you do it through diapers or through some jeans or something, it kind of takes that sting away. That thing just has a really nice sting to it. Tie it to a specific event or issue. So this is what you did. This is why you're out of God's will. This is why you've disobeyed and you've dishonored. And this is why this is occurring. As they grow older, it involves more into attitudinal issues. Your attitude. You just gave me the eye that mocks. That was a very rebellious look you just had. You just said no directly in defiance to me. That's unacceptable. We need to deal with that. Okay, so you're tying it to a specific event. And then you need to secure acknowledgement from the child. You did this. Acknowledge you did it, or I saw you do this in some way so they know specifically, yep, yes, mommy, I did it. And so they recognize and they're not going to do it again. Eye contact is a key element there. Remind the child of the purpose as you're going through this process. It's to restore to a place of blessing. Blessing is the operative word there. We want to restore them, and that's how we do this, is to remind them, you know what, I just see that you're out of this here, out of this God's circle of blessing. Also, we would tell the child how many swats they're going to receive. You know what, it can be three. Sometimes it was commensurate with their age. It was an easy way to do it. Just different times, different purposes. If they were going through a time when they were really just challenging, and you know what, you're only four, but we're increasing your number up to five this week because you're just not getting it. So this is what we're going to do. That sends the child a signal that you're in control of yourself. You're telling ahead of time. It's not like, when is this going to stop? I don't even know how many I'm going to get. It's very measured that way. Except for squirming, and then we tell them, you squirmed again. We got to work on that. You know what? I'm going to let it go this time, but next time, let's make sure you don't squirm. I mean, you can do that. You can have grace. You can show that because you're in control. It's not you just fighting them in this whole process. As I said, remove anything that would make the spanking ineffective. That's important. And then work towards restoration. We want to work towards, that's the whole idea, is restoring them to you. If there's a refusal to be restored, they don't want to be restored, check your own spirit as well as your child's spirit. Sometimes it's you. You've got a bad attitude. And they see it. And, no, no, mommy, I'm not ready to. I'm not ready to talk about this. But at least working towards that, you want to restore things. Give your child a hug and reinforce you love them verbally. That's a great time to do it. You know what? I love you, honey. And I'm sorry we have to go through this. I hope you've learned. I hope you're not going to do this again. Will you remember this? And will you remember not to do this? I'm going to help you. If I see you starting to do this, I will remind you. But let's not do this. And it's amazing how quickly you're now part of the process. And even use the shelves of that of the warehouse to say, you know what, this, let's put this up. Even use that idea of a shelf. Let's just put this on a shelf to remember this next time you go into the situation. Let's remember not to do it, because we're not respecting people, we're not respecting property, whatever the thing is that they weren't respecting that caused the issue. Keep the spanking referenced to restoration, not retribution. You did this, therefore you had to get 5 spankings. No, it's a rescue. And certainly you can use the circle of blessing as an example. Asking forgiveness is important. So they should ask forgiveness if they have wronged somebody or something. And we would not just say, let them say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry puts it all in my context. I'm in charge, and it's my wanting to give the sorriness. As opposed to what we taught our kids was, will you please forgive me? Will you forgive me puts it in the context of the person that they've offended. Will you forgive me for taking that toy away from you or hitting you? Wow. Now there's a contrite spirit that says, I am under authority to you to respond back to me. And if the other brother or the friend says, no, I'm not going to forgive you. Okay, they've done their part. They've asked for forgiveness. What a great model as they grow up. You know, they're 18, 20 years old and they do something wrong to somebody and it really hurts someone's feelings. Will you forgive me for doing that? I'm so sorry I did that. That's so much better than I'm sorry. And I've seen that time and time again with kids. Mom just pokes, go tell them you're sorry. I'm sorry. That's no act of apology there. There's no asking for forgiveness. They just want to go through the motions. If they have to say, will you please forgive me? Those words mean a lot, and they have to hopefully learn to say them in a way that's going to appreciate. Then lastly, pray with your child. Sometimes, not every single time, but sometimes it's good to do that. You know, let's pray that you won't fall into the same temptation and give into it next time. If you're at your friend's house and you stole one of their toys and you brought it home, that's stealing. And you've gone through the whole process. We're going to take it back to them and maybe even use some biblical examples of taking them back and paying double. You know, you took a toy of theirs, you're going to take one of your toys and give it to them with yours. Or they stole a candy bar out of the store, you take the candy bar back to the manager, walking up to the manager, ooh, that's hard to do, isn't it? But will you forgive me? I stole this candy bar and here's extra. Those would be just killer, killer examples. They're going to remember those in their minds forever. So think of ways to work on that restoration and pray with your child. You know, this would be the right thing to do so we don't have this problem. Lying is one that, man, we treated that one so harsh. If we ever had lying in our house, we just nailed that one down because that was going to be unacceptable. Stealing would be on the same level. I mean, these are very deep sins that can be hard if they get settled in, and you want to nip them as early as you can. So then also remember that the chart, to bring them through the chart of what is in their heart that was driving the behavior, and how can we take them through the cross and say that Christ forgives them. And that's where you walk through some things maybe that you've done and ask them questions and talk to them about it. You know what, Daddy has a heart that also wants to steal people's time or steal their character by saying nice things about them. So I have to also pray to God to help me. So you're putting yourself not as, you child, you did this, how dare you. It's a, you know, we're sinners and we need God's grace. I need God's grace. You're modeling it from them. Okay? Now, the fruit of the rod, it teaches that there's outcomes to behavior. You reap what you sow. You reap evil, you're going to get evil. It's going to hurt. And it's amazing how that helps. So you can use that example. It also reveals God's authority over mom and dad. We're all under authority, is what one of our earlier lessons said. And this shows that you're doing this not because you're mad at them for doing something, but you're under the authority where God told you, you have to do it. We're doing what God told us, instructed us to do for you. It models it. Our conviction about sin always shapes our approach to disciplining our children. Are we serious about there being a hell? because we don't want our kids to go into hell. It will not go well with them. They may not live long, and we don't want them going to hell. And so we're serious about this. Same thing with ourselves. It's a great way to talk about that. It trains your child to be under authority. God's placed everyone under authority, and authority structures are a blessing. So they learn how to do that. There's consequences to disobedience, and there's consequences to obedience. Next, it's a demonstration of parental love. Hebrews 12:5 says, "And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you." God has done this with us, and it is encouraging to us, and we need to recognize that. It's God's love to us that has allowed us. The rod is an expression of love, and a parent who properly disciplines shows that he loves his child. And that's what you're trying to do. You're engaged. You're involved in their life. You're willing to invest in careful discipline as opposed to, I just want to get this over with and get back to watching my football game or whatever it is that we were doing, and we don't want to be bothered with our kids. This yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Hebrews 12:11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And that's what you want to see, is a child has a harvest of righteousness and peace. Wow, what great qualities we want to have in our kids, isn't it? Timely, careful discipline yields peaceful, righteous, successful children. And that's the way to do it. If you don't discipline, you have a less likely chance of that. And as the circle of blessing would show, it restores the child to a place of blessing. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. First commandment with a promise, may go well with you. You may enjoy a long life on the earth. Left to themselves, the child would continue a lust-driven, egocentric life. That's just what kids are. We all are. And they naturally are going to be a part of that. They'd be a slave to their desires and fears. And that's why we watched a whole generation now growing up. They've got these desires. They just go and automatically do whatever they want. And fears, the fears that kids have nowadays are crazy. COVID, look what that did to so many kids. They're just freaked out by it. We shouldn't be having that because we trust God. We're not after their happiness. We're after their holiness. Remember that. The rod restores them to a place of submission to the parents and to God. And this promotes an atmosphere of closeness between parents and children. It's amazing how much they now see. Remember we talked about family identity? This creates your family identity. This is the Owyler family, and this is the way we act within our family. Little Jimmy down the road, his mommy might let him do this, but we don't. We're the Owyler family, and we're training you because we don't think that that's right for you to be doing stuff like this. The rod is designed to work in unison with communication and an appeal to the conscience. We're going after that conscience that says that I know what's right. Remember that little robot that's bringing up stuff into their brain and say, hey, here's something you got to deal with it. We're trying to train that robot to be big and bold and bright red lights all over it so that it brings that to the child's mind. They remember those things. They see those things. And it says, a conscience, you got to deal with this. Do the right thing. Otherwise, it's going to accuse them once they do wrong. Shepherding, Child's Heart, page 99. You're going to read this in your homework today. I just want to read it because I thought it really says it well. The sincere entreaty is accenting every syllable caught my ear. Dear, you know what mommy said, and you did not obey mommy, and now I have to spank you. You know, dear, that I am not mad at you, but you must learn to obey. The baby was mute in the face of correction, but then she was only a doll. And the mommy, she was 4-year-old Lauren. The speaker behind the speaker was obviously her mother. Lauren learned how to discipline dollies from her mother, disciplining her. Lauren imitates mommy. Her mother understands that Lauren possesses abilities not found in dollies. She knows that Lauren's behavior has a moral dimension. Lauren's not ethically neutral. Lauren's misbehavior brings her into conflict with God's law. Her heart trades in issues of good and evil. Mothers understand, too, that the issues of correction transcend the present. All earthly punishment presupposes the great day when destinies are eternally fixed. Mother wants her to be ready for that. Oh, that's a great little anecdote that reminds us of just the reality. And that's where our kids land when this is naturally done for them. They just see this is the way that it works. Gracious, purposeful, kind, authoritative, demonstrating the necessity of obedience with long-term vision of discipline is what we're after. Kathy, you want to come up with and take some questions? I thought it'd be good to, because there's a lot to this. And we thought it'd be good to have some questions. And I have some here that are pre-started. When is my child old enough was the first one. So
that's a good question. Obviously, we've talked.
You got young. You got three. You got young.
Little ones know when they crawl towards something. We had a nine-month-old who crawled over. We had a floor heater. And he would crawl towards the floor heater and look at us and look at the floor heater and look at us, you know, and reach out. And, we, you know, that challenge. You see the challenge taking place. And I remember, you know, firmly, no, you know, just making your voice very clear, telling them no. At that point, if they continue on, which he did, then touching, you know, the floor was hot, so he didn't get to touch it. It wasn't turned on at the time, but flicking his finger or swatting, you know, so with
back of his hand.
Yeah, a little child, you want to start.
9 months old.
You know, training with that. The tool is not obviously for those that age. It's going to be for more of a two-year-old on up. But I remember even at about 18 months, you know, having little ones who were definitely rebellious and had, you know, and the tool, the whole idea of discipline and chastisement is this, it there is the rebellion that needs to be corrected. I mean, if there's times when they're whining or they're just, you know, irritating behavior that you can isolate them, that whether it's they're just not doing something at the table or whatever, that's a isolation. But when there's rebellion and you have to deal with it as rebellion, that's when the tool. So I would say, you know, definitely by two. I mean, two, and again, it's each child is different. You can't just say one age per child. We had one that you'd look at her and she'd cry tears. The other one just, you know, in your face of, try me, you know.
So bring it on, Dad.
Yeah. Each child is different, and you have to be sensitive to that. But the idea is that you, as a parent, are in control making that decision, not just reactive. You're being proactive. That's why I like this lesson being so far down the line, because there's so much more groundwork of having to do to get to this point of spanking. There's, you know, the proactive training and teaching and all the things that we've talked about before, and just setting up scenarios and reminding them, and, you know, what's behaviors acceptable. We're going to church, or we're going to someone's house, or whatever. So
mm-hmm. They may not be able to verbalize their disobedience, but they still know when they're defying you. Sometimes it's an arch back, mm-hmm. You know, trying to change their diapers or do something, they're arching their back. No. Yeah, that was unacceptable. We would flick them off.
Or squeeze their little muscles.
Yeah,
and
like
they're in
up here.
In the grocery store, you know, arching and trying to get out and doing that, and sitting them down tightly. And
so they know when they're defying you. They give you that eye, you know. We know what that is. What if your child says, I didn't hear you? Okay, that's a common one, isn't it? Mm-hmm. What would you do?
I think especially with the age, obviously, if they're old enough to say that, I didn't hear you, they're obviously old enough to know, they hear, you know, if you were to say, let's go get cookies or ice cream, you know, boom, they can hear that real quick. So it's selective hearing. Sometimes it's reminding them of just whatever that is and repeating back to you. I think that's real important that they acknowledge the whole repeat back to you what they're asked to do. So mm-hmm. If they're asked to go put this toy in their room or pick up something, and it may be a reminder, you give them some grace, but it is something where you want to make sure they verbally know.
You need to teach them to hone in on your voice. Remember I said the calling game, come, you know, when I'd call their name and they'd come running, yes, Daddy, that game. That was a training of a voice, that they knew how to expect that voice. When I called in that voice, they knew that they needed to come. Wherever I was, that was a voice they knew that they would have to come for that one. But often when it's a didn't hear me, it's they didn't put enough effort in listening or in remembering. So that's what you got to work on. Okay, we got to work on this. And you explain. We're going to work on listening better.
We would sometimes just say, okay, then I need you to sit here on the chair. You need to sit here until you can hear my voice and understand. So it's like time out. Pull you out. Sit down. Let's rethink what you're doing here. You need to acknowledge my, you know, authority in a sense, because sometimes that whole I didn't hear you, and it's like you can use it as a label of, oh, they're just not able to pay attention, or they're too little to understand. I mean, I know people who would say that. And, oh, they didn't understand me because they're too young. Your babies, your children can understand you very young, even before they verbalize, like Grandma's mm-hmm. saying. I mean, you can teach sign language. They can learn sign language.
We taught a lot of sign language. Was really helpful.
Yeah.
The please and thank you and mm-hmm. more.
Yeah, you're getting wrong, but that's okay.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
I recorded. excited, remember?
Oh. I'm having too much fun today.
Dear, you are.
And we've heard it said, won't I be chastising my child all day long? You know, like if I really was on this, that's what I'm going to be doing all day long. And there may be sometimes when you feel like you are. The temptation, though, is to still to let it go. And you just have to be consistent. That's a hard one. It will yield a good harvest. And it's a matter of being faithful. Just be faithful. And when you get those, we've had those children that were just, are they ever going to get this? It's all day long. And I'd come home and Grant, yeah, I had another day where I just deal with this child just so much. And now to see that fruit where we just stuck to it, coming out in very aggressive ability to serve the Lord with that skill set of just that determination that child had. And been just amazing to see the effectiveness. And that's, I think, mainly because we worked on it, and now God's giving us that fruit. So that's one thing I'd point to is wait for that fruit.
I think one of the things, too, that Grant didn't bring up, but I just want to throw that in now in this lesson, is like we often want to just give labels to the kids of, oh, they're shy. They're not going to say hi, or they're not going to do this, or, you know, they're quiet, or they're strong-willed. That was a big thing when we were raising our kids. Mm-hmm. Dobson had come out with a strong-willed child, so that was a great label to slap on anybody who basically was an active
a problem child.
Who
that they didn't discipline.
Just kept giving excuses for. And so it was like, no, they're strong self-willed, which is really what it was. It was the strong will was the part they were selfish and self in their own ways. So you have to be consistent. You have to still keep going on the path of rescuing them from their sin, because the biggest thing is we have to make sure we see sin and deal with the sin, not just ignore it, because it's just going to keep snowballing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have a question here about when you're around people who don't understand biblical chastisement, how do you handle that, whether it be, you know, cousins or brothers or sisters? That's a hard one, and they don't use it as a time of evangelism. I'm going to teach you how much I love my child. I love God. I'm going to spank my kids. Don't go there. It doesn't work that way. That's not the purpose of discipline, is in shepherding that way. The temptation is to try to solve problems right then and there, and often it's by compromising. Instead, just defer it. Say, you know what, this is something we're going to have to deal with at home. Tell your child, make it real clear. If they know you and they know you're consistent, maybe you have to write it down somewhere, you know, put a reminder on your phone for 15, 20 minutes when I get home. Okay, remember to 47 spankings or whatever they wrote for that one that they did. So, yeah. Okay, good.
Any questions? From-
yeah, other questions. We'd love to hear questions. Because these are tough things to think through, and I'm sure you run into scenarios. It's like, oh, I wish I would ask that question. So,
you know, are there like things that were like on the level of this is spanking, and these are like, I mean, maybe you know, these aren't things we're going to spank. Maybe these are things where you go to timeout, and if they continue, then they move up to spankings, and things that were low level issues that were like, we're just going to have conversations.
Good question. Yeah, and it is not everything demands a spanking. A lot of it's mainly what we're after is rebellion. And you can see that in their eyes, you can see in their face, you can see in their attitude. That's what we're after, is watching for that stuff. If it's a foolishness versus a childishness, that would be often what we take things like that, where they just did something that's like, come on, you should have thought better than that, and they just weren't thinking about it, doing it. Often then that would be a reminder. Sometimes if you're being consistent in all the other areas, those graces, it shows that, look, I'm a fair parent, but it's communication during those times. You know what? You just slipped up on this again. We've been working on this. Let's try to do that over again. And maybe you can do it right this time. So even though they sinned in that process, you're giving them a chance of some grace there. But now you're verbalizing with it. They're explaining, especially as they're getting older. You know, your kids are 8, 10 years old. It's a great way to use it at those times when they're a little bit older.
Any commandment given that's not followed, like rebellious, like that?
No, because sometimes it's a, you know, if they're consistently doing it. So you tell them to take out the trash, and they just keep playing with their toys, and they don't. There was a disobedience there because their pleasure was more fun than that. So that would be a required spanking. But if they just keep, or you're working on this first time obedience, and you tell them to take out the trash, and they just ignore you, then you know what? I'm going to remind you, I'm going to come back and check if that trash is gone in 1 minute or not, there will be some consequences. So you've kind of given them a reminder, you gave them a time frame that they can now surrender with dignity, is something we learned. So they're not immediately, I got to jump up and, you know, run to the door and take out the trash. So surrendering with dignity is one thing we had to learn with our the one who was climbing over to that heater on the wall. And, you know, he was looking like this at the wall. And so what we did, rather than letting him do that and get a spanking, we just lifted him up and we put him in another part of the room and said, no, you're not going to do that. There was no spanking involved. We didn't have to do any discipline. We kept him from the potential of the
because
sin.
Because he went back. We had to flick his fingers and do that first because he knew that that was off limits and he was testing that. But he went right back to it. So it was one of those where you have to learn, okay, instead of dealing this battle and, you know, you're winning the war, you're not going to win every battle.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking of, in particular, like, for example, if your kids are not getting along together, they're fighting in their rooms and all that stuff, it doesn't mean you have to go in there and spank. It means you can say, you know what, you're having a hard time getting along together right now. I'm going to have you guys separate, or you're going to go sit in your room. I've heard you say some unkind things. You need to sit on the sofa. I'm going to set the timer, and when you come, you know, when time rings, I want you to come to me and tell me how you're going to change your behavior. Those are isolation. Those are things where you pull them out of the scenario, helping them to get away from, you know, get some self-control, get be able to go back into the situation to play with their sister or their siblings or friends or whatever. So does that make sense? Rebellion would be like, no, I don't want to. It's where they're kicking and screaming and, you know, defiant. And those are the behaviors that you definitely have to chastise with. Because that defiance, you know, it's a challenge to your authority. I mean, the Bible is a story of submission. Basically, we're all under submission. Christ came and submitted to his Father. We think about that in terms of if we don't get them when they're little, what point do you start making them submit, what, you know, obeying your authority in that sense? So it's being cautious, not catching every little thing, but it's being looking at the big picture of, okay, I'm dealing with this child who has a really angry attitude and he's screaming mad and that's rebellion. You know, there's a difference between the cry of just upset, whining, whatever. But when they're angry and they're that kind of rebellion, that's definitely one where you want to take that to the chastisement level.
Mm-hmm. Come.
Any other questions? I know you guys are varied ages, so it's kind of difficult. But and feel free to, you know, find us on the in the parking lot or call us, text us.
The next week there'll be somebody in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
Speak. last page you have there is kind of a fun little sheet there that kind of defines the difference between cultural spanking and biblical chastisement, because there is a big difference between them. And I think it's good to go through this. Cultural spanking is something parents do to a child. I'm going to spank you. I am doing it to you. Biblical chastisement is something parents do for a child. Cultural spanking is a reaction activated by frustration. Biblical chastisement is a response activated by rebellion. Cultural spanking is used as a punishment of last resort. Biblical chastisement is not an act of punishment, but of love. Cultural spanking attempts to change outward behavior. There's your behavior modification, change in that box. Biblical chastisement is used with the intent to amend behavior. Cultural spanking is performed throughout a child's life. I remember a friend of mine in high school saying that his mom tried to spank him. And he said, I just turned over and ran from her, whatever he did. I don't remember, but he's way too big for it. It's like, come on, really? No, because it was not being done right, and the guy did not respect his parents. Biblical chastisement is nearly completed by the age 5. We gave it till 6. We had some kids who were a little challenging. Cultural spanking frustrates the child. Biblical chastisement clears a child's guilty conscience. Cultural spanking has no long-term positive effect. Biblical chastisement molds lifelong character. And lastly, cultural spanking is used by most Christians, sadly. Biblical chastisement is rarely used anymore by anyone. So, and that's a hard hit. And to think through each time you're doing it, why am I doing this? What am I doing it? What's the purpose of it? And if you can have this kind of a mindset in it, you'll feel like, wow, now I have a whole different direction in what I'm trying to do here. It's not driven out of fear. It's not driven out of anger. It's not driven out of, I want to get retribution. It's a love. I love my kid too much to let him keep going this direction. Because if I keep letting him go in that direction, I know where it's going to go. And it's not a good scene. So, hope that helps. You guys want to stick around for 5 extra minutes? I got one more thing, and it's called the appeal process. We haven't talked about this yet, but I think it ties in well with what we're doing here. If I had an extra 5 minutes granted from you guys. If you want to leave, you can. No, don't. So you give an instruction to your child, and what happens is all of a sudden that is in direct conflict with another instruction. I've told my son, when you get home, first thing when you get home, I need you to take up the trash cans. Kathy drives him home. Just as they get home, James, I need you, as first thing when you get home, I need you to go in and take care of the dog. Just threw up right before I left all over the back porch. Can you take care of that? So James now has two conflicting questions, right? What does he do? Does he obey mom or does he obey dad? I come home right after that and the trash cans are out, the kids are home. How come he didn't obey me? He knew what to do that. So there's a disagreement there. So the appeal process says, may I appeal to you? If a child is given an instruction, there's an ability for them to appeal that instruction, to not have to do it or to change and amend that request. There's a second command, usually from another authority, or there's some other new information. So it must, first, the child must be characterized by obedience before you can even enact this. If they're normally characterized by obedience, then you can do this. They must bring new information to you. Mom, I appreciate it. I'd love to clean up the dog mess in the house, but dad told me as soon as I got home, I need to take the trash cans. Can I appeal to you? Can I do the trash cans later, or would you like me to do the dog mess first? If she says, you know what, clean up the dog mess because I don't want the other kids stepping in it. So she then takes responsibilities for the trash cans. I come home and, hey, James, how come you didn't pick up the trash cans? Talk to mom. I already asked her about that. Solved. No conflict. It really removed a lot of those hassles because we talked together. He then used the appeal process in there. But a child also must be immediately begin to obey. I'd love to do that for you, mom. I'm going to do that for you, but can I give you more information? If mom says, nope, I don't want to hear anything, it's all on her. The issue of the trash cans not being brought up, that's all on her because she did not allow the appeal. The child's safe now, right? Even though, because she said, I tried to, I'm sorry. Now it's between mom and dad, and it's great because he tried the right channels to try to appeal. The repeal also must be in a respectful manner. So you can't just say, I don't want to do that, mom. Do I have to? Because I've got to do this. No, the attitude has to be right there, a respectful manner. And lastly, the child must accept the results of the appeal with a gracious spirit. So if it's a no, you know what, son, I need you to do this, whatever it is. You know, you ask him to, I need you to go down to the store. I don't know what it is. I need you to ride down to the mailbox and get the mail for me. And he's got a ton of homework that he really has to do. Can I appeal to you, mom? I've got a lot of homework. Can you ask one of my siblings to do that? No, I need you to go to do it because there's a package in there that's a present for your sister. I don't want her to get it. I mean, there might be some other information that mom will give. So, ooh, okay. So now he's actually part of the solution. See how that works? It's going to really help alleviate a lot of fears if they use those simple words. And we taught those words, may I appeal to you? Five words, and that just eliminates a lot of conflict in your place. So that was a bonus. You didn't have to pay for it. I wanted to make sure I told you that one. Any other comments or questions? Good. Ross, would you close us in prayer?
Sure.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we are here and understanding the biblical role of discipline. And I pray that we would begin to implement these principles and how we raise our children, and we entrust that into your care. And we now pray that you would be with us this evening and that you would bless us and keep us safe on the way home. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.